Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is our mega preview pod for this week's RBC Heritage. It is storylines. It's our best bets. It's our one and done picks. And joining me to break it all down, I've got the coach. Hey, coach, what's up?
I am fired up. I'm ready to go. This is kind of my line in the sand. And leave it to Mark Immelman to be scared. To be scared to show up today because he knows that starting today, he's just going to start being reeled in over the course of the next 4 months. I changed my date to the Wyndham in my contract, just so you guys know.
You amended the entire contract.
I did the whole thing. Yes.
It was not even 9 a.m. here, and Coach and Mark were getting into like a Twitter text spat over what the current standings are in one and done. So this goes much further than just this show, I promise you. Yes, this is happening in real life.
Who'd you have for the Masters, Coach?
DJ?
Paul Casey.
Paul Casey.
Yeah.
It looked like good.
72 grand. Yeah. For 23 holes, it looked great.
We know how Coach feels about Paul Casey. Hit it again, Jacob.
Give me Paul Casey then.
That's a drop. We were going to save that, but you mentioned Paul Casey way too early into the show.
I cannot believe you sucked me into that. That was gorgeous. I can't believe you delivered like that.
So I legitimately did not. One, I didn't know who you had. And two, I didn't know we had that clip.
Really?
So that was.
Kyle was not involved in this.
He wasn't?
That was.
No. Oh, my God.
Were you going to set him up?
Well, I know who he is going to pick later. And that is Paul Casey. So we were going to use it then. Producer Jacob clipped it. So we were going to pull it out later, but we're 2 minutes into the show. We had a Paul Casey reference. We had to hit it.
That's unbelievable.
That's so good.
That's so good. I'll tip my cap.
Thank you. But that's Kyle Porter. If you don't recognize the voice, there he is back at home from Augusta National. KP, we're going to talk about the Masters. We're going to hit that at the top. But first of all, welcome. Good to have you again.
Yeah, it was, man, it's such a fun, almost otherworldly week. Coach knows this from being out there. Yeah. You come back and I'm at the grocery store last night buying yogurt and wine. And it's like 24 hours earlier, I was following Hideki Matsuyama around Augusta National. It's just like, it's so jarring to like contrast those two things. But yeah, it's good to be home. The Masters was so much fun and I'm excited to talk some more golf.
Before we do that, let me remind you, I got two favors for you. Drop your best bet in the chat right now. That goes a long way. And don't be shy to leave a 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts. Gives us an opportunity to keep making more episodes. I mean, I don't think we've missed a round yet in however long since the tour came back. So we are rocking and rolling and your 5-star reviews go a long way. Coach, before we jump back into Masters and all that stuff, you know, you said, I think you said half of the Masters field is playing this week. Is that accurate?
It was coming into Monday. It was like half of the Masters field. Then Bryson withdrew and Joel Damon withdrew, but Joel didn't play in the Masters. But it's a really strong field because I've seen a lot of narratives, guys, that, last year in June, it looked like a major field. Well, of course it did. It was the second tournament back. But now this year, to me, to get half the field to come over and play the RBC, I think it's a huge get. And, of course, led by DJ Cantlay, Will Zalatoris is there, Colin Morikawa is there. This is a really good field.
Really strong field, especially the week after a major championship. And I have to remind everyone that Champions League is coming to a close. Quarterfinals wrap this week. Today's fixtures just ended. PSG and Chelsea are on to the semis. And if you haven't already, make K Galazzo Podcast your audio outlet for complete UCL coverage before and after the biggest matches, including tomorrow's match, which I'm stoked for. It's Liverpool versus Real Madrid. Follow K Galazzo for premiere picks and immediate recaps of all the action. Download it anywhere that you find this podcast. Let's put a bow on the Masters, KP. You were down there. You were checking it out. You were up close and personal. We saw you get some camera shine. And when the dust settles, Hideki Matsuyama is our newest Masters champion.
Yeah, it was. So I think that some of the narrative coming out of it is that it was boring or not, you know, not the shootout, all these different things. I thought some of that's true, right? You didn't get like the seven, like we didn't get the 2011 where the leader melts down and there's like nine guys that can win it. And I think that's fair, but man, I have to say just a couple of things. One, being kind of around the ending there and seeing Hideki and being in the press conference afterward, it was kind of awesome. Like Hideki's like, I think one thing that I didn't realize about Hideki, he doesn't give you anything emotionally, right? He's kind of like just, he's kind of icy and not in like a, not in a way, it's not like antagonistic. He's just kind of right. Doesn't give you much. And sometimes there were moments where I was like, well, maybe there's just not that much there, but I think there is. I think the reason he doesn't give you much is because it's hard to convey yourself in a country that's a little bit foreign to you, where the language is a little, you know, there's difficulty there. And I thought it was, I mean, people have said it a million times, but that walk from scoring or from 18 to the scoring tent, the video is out there. That was unbelievable. It was awesome to watch and to see his caddy bow to the course. I've watched that video 100 times.
Forget about it.
That was unreal. That was so cool. And I thought that Hideki was incredibly endearing. I walk away from the week loving Hideki way more than I did before the week. And he didn't even really say anything that was, I don't know, monumental. I thought some of what he said in his post-round deal was cool. It wasn't amazing, but I don't know. I fell in love with Hideki last week in a way that I didn't envision myself doing coming in.
Endearing is a really good word, KP. And coach, I think, I mean, you're a coach, right? Like, you know how this stuff works. I think he is very direct in his responses. I mean, the line that we heard that kind of went viral a bit was, you know, during that 77 minute weather delay, what does he do? He says, I went out to my car and looked at my cell phone. Like straight up. I mean, there were a lot of guys who would have said, I took the opportunity to relax and get my mind off of the course and, you know, come back, refocus, right? That would have been the standard line, coach. He just says, oh, I went out to my car and hung on my cell phone. It's like, this guy's the best.
He's the best. Nothing bothers him. And I tell you what, I took away probably two or three really big things when I watched him win, how he won. And instantly, when he got the victory, my mind stopped thinking about what he had done and what it meant, right? I'm a big things mean something to me. The reason I love doing the show with you guys is the reason I love sports. It's like everything to me. And I know it's everything to you guys in different ways. I've been to Japan a whole bunch of times and I loved going. If I was not living in the United States, Japan would be the country that I would live in. For a lot of reasons, how the people act, how they treat other people, how nice they are to other people, the traditions. So when I saw, and I'm literally getting goosebumps talking about it, because when you watch this caddy bow to the course and you're saying thank you to the course, man. A lot of us here in America could learn a lot from that you just got. It means so much to play that course and to play in this tournament. It's why it means so much to the players that it's hard to externalize what you've internalized. And when you saw that, it takes you now instantly over to Japan. And so many of the narratives, and I'm sure we said it too on the show, oh, he's playing for his country. But he really was. Because when I've been there, they treat their sports stars like heroes. Even when my self would walk down the street, people would come up clamoring for a picture, an autograph, because they knew it was from wrestling, right? But they would always give you something. They'd give you a gift because they never ask for anything if they don't give you something. That's why the caddy bowed to the course. The course had just given them something. So he had to give something back. And to me, that's so much bigger than sport, but it was sport that brought us to that. So that's where my mind went. And that's why it was so incredibly cool. Then you factor that with where the Olympics are going to be this summer. And I can only imagine what Hideki is going to get to do. Opening ceremonies, lighting the torch, whatever it is, it's going to be awesome.
I hope he hits a 9-iron into the torch lighting. That'd be
sick. That be amazing? And then it goes off. That would be sick.
Yeah, remember when that guy shot that arrow up there?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Hideki could just pull out 4-iron and hit a seed.
Yeah.
So I think it was interesting because I was talking to some people about the Japan thing, and I do think it's a big deal. I think it is maybe an even bigger deal for like the future than even necessarily right now. And I think one thing that we've kind of missed in all this is that I think it's a big deal for Augusta National. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the front page of masters.com. It had the Masters champion in Japanese.
Yep.
First of all, that's sick. That's awesome. And you know, they've really made and this is stuff that everybody's talked about already. This is nothing new, but they've made an effort. They developed the Asia Pacific amateur. We're pulling up. There you go. Right there. It says Masters champion in Japanese. It's low key, but it's awesome. So they developed this Asia Pacific amateur. The connection between Augusta National and the rest of the globe is becoming strengthening, right? It's moving out and now in Japan, in South Africa, you know, in Australia, you get the first Australian winner with Adam Scott. All over the world, you have this tie to Augusta National, to the Masters. I thought Chris Solomon of No Laying Up said it well on Monday morning after the Masters when he tweeted out like the Masters is so meaningful to so many different people for so many different reasons. It's very different. It's very other than the other three major championships. That doesn't necessarily make it better. I think it's the best. It doesn't make it necessarily like, you know, the greatest or better or whatever, but it is, I think it is the most meaningful to the players, the caddies, everybody involved. And I think you're seeing kind of that tethering to these different countries and to fans of golf within those countries in a way that you just don't really see at other major championships.
Yeah, it is really special, Coach. And we've got you on mute, so I'm going to give you a second to pop yourself off of there while I tee you up on this one. We're starting to see kind of the trickle effect of things coming out of Japan, right? We're seeing their newspapers are putting a full 72-hole spread of every shot and everything that he hit over the course of 4 days. I saw a clip of, I mean, the Japanese broadcasters are literally in tears. They're wiping tears away as he is making his way up 18. Could you imagine if Jim Nantz was wiping tears away from somebody coming up 18? Like, that's what we're talking about. It's just, you know, we're starting to see this stuff. And it's really putting it all into perspective.
To KP's point, if you've ever been to the Masters, they have a TV compound and they fly all of these announcers over and they have rooms. Am I right, KP? They have rooms for these specific announcers and they've done an incredible job over the course of the last 25 years at including all these places. But the thing that has been missing is having an Asian champion because it's such a strong part of the world. And when you talk about being connected to it, when you go to another country, you turn the TV on, there's very little American television. But the one thing you always get is the Masters. That you don't necessarily get the US Open. You don't necessarily get that, but you always get the Masters. And it's bigger than life because to a lot of these people, it's such a world away, which is why they spend, I would estimate, tens of thousands of dollars every single week just following him around with these media members. And so now that you've got him for an entire year as your champion, think of all the initiatives, because the Masters, Augusta National, they're always, always trying to make it better. That's their thing.
Yeah.
How can we make it better for the next year, whether building a new media course, whatever it is, they always want to make it better. And this only helps them make it better.
Yeah. Awesome. One other thing I wanted to say just from being on the ground that I don't know if it got picked up on TV was Hideki never really panicked coming home. I mean, he didn't play that great coming home. He bogeyed three of the last four, but I was watching him as he walked to 16T. Cause that was the only moment I was there the last whatever 9 or 10 holes. That 3 minutes between 15 and when Xander hits it in the water on 16. That was the only moment where you felt like this buzziness of like this thing's up in the air, because you had Zalatoris ahead of him. You had Xander within two. It felt, it did not feel like a done deal. And that was the only time, the first time and the only time. And Hideki was just kind of like, whatever. I mean, he was very focused, but he wasn't like freaking out. He wasn't like losing it. And then Xander hits the shot. And this is the part, I don't know if TV picked this up, but he said, he looks at his caddy, he goes in the water, he looks at his caddy and he said, I hit it perfect. Mm-hmm. And so that means like bad wind, bad club. I don't know what kind of the reasoning was, but it was windy. It was incredibly, like if you, Hideki's caddy looks up in the, like the trees are so tall and they're like kind of like whipping like at the very top, and you couldn't really tell which way it was going. It was a really like, it was kind of weird because it wasn't that windy all afternoon, but it was at that moment. So that was, I don't know, for me, I think the 16 tee shots is what I will remember in terms of like, man, this is a very nervous moment. And Hideki, even though he made bogey, he was kind of, he was a little bit freed up after that hole to play his way in.
Yeah, that was his after he watches Xander go first and hit it in the water. He hits it to the right side, never brings it in play. He three putts or whatever. He's not a good putter. That's fine. No big deal. The only nervous shot I thought he hit, KP, was on 18. In the middle of the fairway on 18, wedge in hand, he sprays it into the bunker. That was like the rest of the back nine, even the bogeys that he made, I thought were fine for the moment and the way it was playing out. That was the worst shot he hit, and he was still able to get up and down.
Yeah, he made five.
That helped us.
Rick. Yes, that's right. He made a five.
we had Xander head up against Hideki.
He said afterward, the most important shot that he hit all tournament was the drive on 18, because you hit the shot on 17, you leave it whatever 20 feet below the hole. It's hard to make five from there. And then you hit the drive on 18 and it's really hard to make six from there, which is what he would have had to make to send it to a playoff. So after he hits the drive on 18, you're like, okay, Vince Carter was tweeted like an hour before that, but
yeah, it got a little nervous for 20 minutes.
It was the one with me in the background crossing my arms. That was the Vince Carter that got tweeted then. I love the Masters, and it was such a fun week. There were we haven't talked about this, but the Schwartzel Siwoo Kim handshake debacle was unbelievable. There were so many different, just crazy. Spieth should have won by like 15 if he could hit a putt. It was such a fun week. I'm glad Hideki got a major, because you're not guaranteed any. And he's the quality of player that at the end of his career, you're like, man, that guy was good enough to have a major. So I'm glad that and there's going to be a lot of guys like that. I wrote a little bit about this and people were kind of blowing it up on Twitter a little bit. Like, there's going to be 15 guys that you're like, man, he's only got one. Justin Rose only has one. Adam Scott, Jason Day. I mean, all these guys, Justin Thomas, Bright, like all these guys that only have one, two plus in this era is going to be insane. And so I'm glad that Hideki got at least one of these over the course of his career.
We are going to talk about the RBC Heritage in a second, but I think that's a really good point, KP and coach. Like that's why I'm starting to get a little bit nervous about Rory not winning a major for 7 years. Like there's like for the first couple of years, I was like, there's plenty of time. They play four of these every single year. He's the best player in the world. And now we've injected a bunch of really good golfers. And now I'm thinking, wow, there's only four of these and they're really hard to win. And it's like, it's been a while for Rory. It's like, these are not as given to golfers as I think maybe even myself once believed they were.
Guess what? Everything you just said, Rory has told himself 10,000 times, which is why he plays like crap when he comes to the Masters. It also does not help that this is the first major normally in 8 months. So he has 8 months to sit around and think about it. Even if you're talking about the first of the year, he's still got 4 months to sit around and think about it. And I don't believe, and maybe this is just me talking, I don't believe he's ever going to win the Masters. He may win another major because he has the kind of talent that if he flips it on and gets dialed in with a swing, we know he can go out and shoot 20 under on any given course. But I don't believe he'll ever play here because there's so many players at his age or around his age that play Augusta National great every single time, regardless of form. And I'm talking about the Spieths of the world. I'm talking about the JTs of the world, that these guys are always going to play in front of him. And now you could probably throw Will Zalatoris. The fact that he played that well the first time out, you know he's going to play well every single time. There's certain guys that do. Rory is not. So I don't think he's ever going to win a Masters.
Mm. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk plenty about the Masters moving forward. We'll recap it, all that good stuff. But let's turn our attention to this week's RBC Heritage. And KP, we were saying, you know, this is a very strong field. It is back from its June spot in the calendar last year. Coach is absolutely right. This was a 7-12 strength of field last year in terms of the official golf rankings.
That's like a major.
It's bonkers. Yeah, it's a major championship. So we're back in April. It is still a very solid field considering its spot on the schedule. And we've got DJ here. We've got Cantlay back in action. Weber, of course, Morikawa. I mean, there's just names after names.
Yeah, there's half the top 10, which is kind of crazy for the week after a major, and half the top 30 as well, which again, I mean, it's crazy to think about how many guys were playing last June, because even though you have half the top 10, half the top 30, it's still like a strength of field's like 480, which is like half of what it was last year almost. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting. The course is so much different than, you know, kind of what we're used to on the PGA Tour, even then Augusta National, obviously. And so you just see a different skill set than normal be able to contend here. CT Pan is one here. You see like the Brian Gaze of the world able to compete here. And I think he's won here also.
He won by 10 shots.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Matt Kuchar, you know, the guy, there's a reason Webb Simpson is good here, but also, if you look at strokes gained over the last decade, according to Datagolf, Cantlay is number one and DJ is number four. So it's not, it brings everybody kind of into play, which I think is, I think it makes for an interesting tournament.
It does. You get, coach, you've got to be these not only tree lined fairways, but the trees kind of hang over into the fairway. So even if you're in the fairway, you might be on the incorrect side and you might have issues getting to the green. It is why we have seen a lot of shorter hitters. And if we have seen a lot of long shots here, KP mentioned CT Pan, Satoshi Kodaira, Wes Bryan, all won in the last 4 years. These guys went off at probably 100, 200, 300 to one. So it really does open up an already strong field, even deeper than normal, because basically anybody can win this thing.
I saw some different quotes from different guys, and Sam Saunders was particularly funny to me. He says, I love this course because you can hit it in the trees and then you can angle it out and bring it around, or you hit it over here and you can take it around. Like, well, maybe you do that, Sam, but the people who win at this particular course, they hit it in the fairway, but they hit it in the right part of the fairway. There's not too many courses around that if you hit it in the fairway, all of a sudden now you got to hit it around a tree. But that's what this course is. And also the greens are so small that when I look at how I handicap this particular tournament, I look at iron play, because let's be honest, guys, 6 to 9 holes, if they have to, they could tee off with an iron. I would say 6 to 9. So if you got that, now you're bringing the Corey Connors, the Colin Morikawas, all these guys in play because they're so dynamic with their irons. But now, to me, the short game, putting stats are not that important, because a lot of times if you hit on the green, you've got a really good look at birdie. So to me, The bigger stat is around the green and pitching, because if you're not there, there's really some trouble around these greens. But I think this is one of the hardest courses and tournaments to handicap because of how many different kinds of champions we've had here.
Yeah. Second smallest greens on the PGA Tour, 3,700 square feet on average. Anybody know this? Let's
pebble.
Pebble. That's the one. 3,500 square feet. So this is 3,700. The big name at the top is Dustin Johnson. Our friends over at William Hill have him as the favorite. Now, not that there are other options than William Hill, because there's not, but if those other options existed, they might have Webb Simpson as the favorite, which is kind of jarring, KP, because there's only been a couple of times in the last 6 or 7 months that Dustin Johnson has played a tournament that he hasn't been the favorite. We can chalk it up as maybe not a great course for him. He's here because it's a sponsor's obligation. This is the only event, the event that he has played the most that he has not carded a top 10.
Yeah, but he's still been good here. I don't know what his finishes are. I know his strokes gain numbers, like Datagolf has it at 1.75 historically, which is, I mean, really good.
That's really good.
He's missed two cuts. Those were his first two trips. And then his next three were like T30 something, T17, T16, I think. But the one year he was in the lead after 54 and shot like 77 or 78 on Sunday.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, DJ's weird because he has no top 20 finishes in his last four starts, which is basically for somebody else, like losing your tour card. Essentially, it's like the equivalent of losing your card for him. But
it's kind of true.
I'm hesitant to be like, can't play DJ for a while after the, you know, 80, 78 or whatever. And then he wins like three of the next five events. I don't know. I can't get too worked up about trends with DJ because it can flip very, I think it can flip quicker than anybody else in the world.
It is weird because he has been by his own standards, terrible in his last four ish starts, but he still won six starts ago and he won eight starts ago, which we would say, oh, that's awesome for really anybody on the planet.
He's won 25% of his event of his last eight events. And we're like, should he retire? I don't know. Maybe he should think about it.
Yeah. This field did get a hair weaker on Monday, Coach. Bryson DeChambeau was lined up to play this event and he withdrew on Monday. And I'm getting the sense that that's starting to get under your skin a little bit.
Big time, big time. It's starting to tick me off because here's the thing. Is I think a lot of these players got very complacent not having fans out there. And to me, and I used to talk with The Rock a lot about this because he was one of the few guys that I worked with that if 15,000 people showed up, they were coming to see him. And we did a thing with Kenny Chesney. We asked him the exact same question, what's it like? And part of his answer was, it's a lot of pressure when they show up just to see you. Well, in golf, there's about five ticket sellers. Maybe five to seven, that when people say, I'm coming to a tournament and I'm buying a ticket, I'm going to watch that dude. And right now, there's so many limited tickets available. You know Bryson's one of them. You know DJ's one of them. And so when you pull out on a Monday, when people are making plans and they bought a ticket, even if they don't buy a ticket, they're spending their time to come watch you play golf. And that's part of the reason you're making so much money off the course, too, from your sponsors. So you've got to show up if you say you're going to show up. And it's starting to become an issue, and I think it's because of COVID. I don't know what it is, but unless you have a severe injury or something serious that we don't know about, and you don't have to tell us, but at least say, listen, I've got something serious I got to handle, because you have a professional responsibility to show up and play and perform for all the fans.
Who are the five ticket sellers?
I'm going to say Jordan. I'm going to say DJ. I'm going to say Bryson. Yeah. I'm going to say JT. And then I'm going to say right now, Colin Morikawa's right there. I think people show up to watch him play. Like I said, I think five to eight. I mean, you could probably let's talk a couple more, but those would be my five.
I don't know about JT and Morikawa.
I think Bryce on. I think, you know,
I think Bryce.
I mean, you can argue it. Yeah, it's definitely.
I think JT's on that side of it. Morikawa, I don't think enough people know yet, which is weird because he's won four times. But I think those four are at least pretty strong for sure.
There's this.
We might be missing somebody.
I think this is, I love this conversation because I think that there's a tier one that it's like, man, if those guys didn't exist, what do the TV ratings look like? Right. So
the fifth guy's Tiger Woods, by the way.
Tiger almost like doesn't even count. He's not even in tier one. He's a different thing. So I think the tier one, I think it is Jordan. I think it's Bryson. I think it's DJ. I think you're right, Rick. I think it's probably JT. But then after that, like, I mean, is Phil in there? Is like, this sounds idiotic. Maybe. This sounds dumb, but is Ricky in there?
Phil is more in there than Patrick Cantlay is.
100%. But that's because of the entertainment value.
Right. That's what I mean. I'm talking about buying tickets.
You're right, Rick. You're absolutely right.
Here's my point, Coach, is like Ricky, like the people that want to watch Ricky, they don't know that he's ranked 102nd in the world. Mm-hmm. They just know that they like Ricky. Like they don't care that he plays bad. Like I almost feel like Ricky is like the sixth biggest draw in the sport, even though he's like the 130th best guy in the world.
And he might be. He might be.
Like who sells more tickets, Ricky or Colin Morikawa?
Probably still Ricky.
Probably still Ricky.
Kids, I mean, kids but still I feel show like up wearing.
They do, but when did they buy that gear? That's what I'm saying. When did they buy that gear? I don't think in the last year they're buying that gear.
They've outgrown it if they haven't bought it in the last year.
That's true. I am not coming at you. I think it's a fascinating conversation. I love the conversation.
You are coming at me. I love it. You can come at me all you want. That's why I love chopping it up. You can't offend me at all, ever. Ever.
We'll just take the net down. So we're good.
That's true. Take the double net down.
There was one other thing I wanted to does Brooks sell tickets?
To me, he's in that Patrick Cantlay. I've told you guys the story before. I want to get a hold of the entire PGA Tour group and say, listen, I can help you make money, but you got to stop being a robot. And to me, he's a robot. Just like Cantlay's a robot. When they're out on the course, they don't give you anything. They don't make me. I never think to myself, "Oh, I've got to tune in because Brooks is teeing off at 9:32." That never happens. It never happens in my world. I don't.
We're gonna talk about RBC Heritage and our picks in one and done, but I do have. I actually have a rock story, Coach. I get to tell my rock story now. So I was probably, I had to be like 10 or 11 years old, something like that. And he was coming to the local mall. My dad was actually working security, so he got me into the. It was like a card shop that he was gonna come sign autographs in. So I got in beforehand. So it's like me and like two other kids are the only people waiting on the inside, and there are throngs of people throughout this entire mall, and we're just hanging, and you start hearing it. It's Rocky, yeah, Rocky, yeah. Right? He's coming. He's getting louder. Yeah. It's coming. This guy walked in. I swear I melted when I saw how big he was. He was obviously the nicest guy in the world. Signed my little magazine cover. I went on my way. But like it was, I will never forget that moment. Like I could hear him coming essentially. And then he walked in the door and it was wild stuff.
The easiest way to describe him in one sentence is he's not built like anybody else. He is the coolest human being I've ever had the pleasure of working with, being around, learning from, being a mentor to me. He's the greatest human being that's a celebrity that I know. I mean, he's the best, and he's bigger than life, and it's awesome when you're around him. And I'm glad that you had that experience, because most people don't understand when you're around somebody like him, it's special, man. It is special.
Speaking of people who are great human beings, we forgot somebody in the in the tier one conversation.
Who?
Rory.
Sorry, Rory. See, that shows us where his game is. The fact that we didn't think about him right away, KP, that's a problem. That's a problem. Because we don't think of him.
It's not good. I mean,
no.
Yeah. We can talk about Rory some other week when he's playing, but
I tweeted this out earlier. He's ranked 13th in the world. That is his worst world ranking since November of 2009, 4,167 days ago. Amazing. He has had a better, that's the last time he had a world ranking this bad.
I think he's been in the top 15 for 13 straight years, which is that's a joke. You can't do that.
Unbelievable.
And he's done it. It's really impressive.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do our picks for the RBC Heritage. We're going to talk one and done, but first we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And we're back. This weekend's coverage is back on CBS, baby. Check out Saturday and Sunday coverage on CBS, cbssports.com, or on the CBS Sports mobile app. You can also stream your local CBS station on Paramount Plus through pretty much any device out there. So there is no excuse for not being able to watch the network coverage this weekend. Gentlemen, let's do our picks. So producer Jacob, he's going to pull up our betting cards. We're going to start with Jacob. Let's do coach first. We're going to start with coach first. He's got five picks on here. Let's start with a matchup coach. You have Dustin Johnson over Patrick Cantlay.
I couldn't believe I got this number, to be honest with you. Laying a quarter over Cantlay, who's been absolutely atrocious. Shot like 290s at Augusta National last week.
290s. I don't think Ian Woosnam even shot 90.
I was shocked at this number. And I think it's more about DJ than it is or more about what people think about Cantlay or Vegas thinks about Cantlay. This is, to me, it should be 150 or 160. And I'm sure that your numbers support that, Rick. So I love this number, and I should have bet more than 25 on it, to be honest.
I actually took the other side of this. We're going to get to that in a second.
Snap.
Yeah. He shot 79. He shot 79, 73, not 90.
Oh, my bad.
It was still incredibly ugly. I will give you that. Well, I'll give you my Patrick Cantlay reasoning on the other side. You have Webb Simpson, who is, of course, the man around here to be your first round leader. And there's a name that keeps popping up for you. Cam Smith. You are a Cam Smith believer. You have him as the top rest of the world player for 6.5 to 1.
And last week in my head-to-heads throughout the week that I do on my personal, he won more for me than anybody else did. And we won the bet on the early edge with him Sunday as well. He's a dude that I love betting on guys that show up every week. I love guys that show me it matters to them and shows me that even without their B game, their effort is going to get them to the B game. And to me, Cam Smith is one of those guys. And almost every single time I play him, no matter what it is, he cashes for me. And giving me plus 650 when I think he could win this week, that's incredible value.
You round out this card with Paul Casey's top European at 5.5 to 1 and Webb Simpson back at it again, a top 10. You are very clearly a believer in Weber this week.
Yeah, I think Webb is going to end up winning this golf tournament. I really, really do. Last week was an outlier. And Paul Casey, I compared other courses to this, like Innsbruck, Riviera a little bit, Sawgrass a little bit. When I compare the names that are consistently in the top 15, Casey showed up for me. So for the top European, oh my God, that's going to drive me bananas in a good way. But I think Webb is going to win. And so I'm trying to get my handicapping better and just layer it. And if I'm going to get bounced, I want all of them to get bounced. But I'm tired of throwing out 8 different picks when it's almost impossible to hate 8 different picks. I'm going to start layering my stuff.
Yeah, I think that's smart.
Can you play it again, producer Jacob?
Give me four keys to that.
What I love about that is that when Jacob hit it while coach was talking, you couldn't tell which was the drop and which one. Like it was so perfect because it's just the same. Like that's what I love about it.
I can also envision him doing the.
He was, yeah.
I was. I will tell you this. You never have to wonder with me. My emotions are on my sleeve. I love this so much. And sometimes do I get a little too serious? Yeah, maybe I do. But I love it. And I'm never going to apologize for that.
All right. Let's go to my betting card.
Producer, love it.
Producer Jacob, remember we have taken our $100, our 100 units. We've gone over to William Hill and we've allocated them the best that we can. And I remind you of that because I got a little boost action for this week, but we'll get to that in a second. So I started with two. I allocate the vast majority of my $100 on matchups this week, Corey Connors over Sung Jae-im and then Patrick Cantlay over Dustin Johnson. And coach, there is there's a great quote from Michael Scott in The Office. And he says, no question about it. I'm ready to get hurt again. And that is exactly how I feel
that.
About Patrick Cantlay this week. I just see a guy. I'm hoping that was the outlier, right? That Thursday was the outlier round. He, you know, Augusta National's hard, whatever. He's been great on Pete Dye courses. DJ can't seem to figure out the formula around here and it's even money. So I'm going down with the ship on this one more time. I took Patrick Cantlay.
But let me ask you this. Don't you think part of the reason he shot so bad at Augusta is let's go back to his WD with the back issue. And since then, he hasn't played very well. And I think that's a big issue. I just hope he starts so that I can cash my ticket, because he may withdraw Thursday or Friday.
I don't know about that. I just think the margins, and KP, this is probably a better question for you in person there. Like, the margins at Augusta National looked so small, right? Like, you could be 1 foot in either direction. It's either next to the pin, you know, or it is 30 yards back down at your feet in the fairway. They just felt super small.
Yeah. I mean, yes. And that's how the course should always be set up, by the way. Like, that was, it was perfect. It was awesome. The problem is that now we have the Players Championship evidence. We've got the Masters evidence. So it would be one thing if it was like, what did he do at the match play? Oh, he was like the best player in the field for the first.
He was dominant. Days,
and then he lost a playoff.
Yeah, he lost. Yeah. Right. Didn't make
it. Through. So I think there's an argument. I'm fading Cantlay this week, but I think there's an argument that involves like, look, the Players is a mess every year. You can't take away anything from that, or TPC Sawgrass and then Augusta. But it's, man, I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to put those two things together and be like, ah, I'm still in. I'm still a believer after he missed the cut so badly at least at the Masters.
Well, let's see if he can hurt me one more time. I've gone to last year's runner-up Abraham Answer at a top five. That's 6.5 to 1. I went with Chase Seifert for a top 20. He plays Pete Dye course as well. Just had a decent finish in Honda. And then here's my outrights: Colin Morikawa and Will Zalatoris. William Hill has a boost on Will Zalatoris. So you can get it at 30 to 1. And coach, these guys are kind of the blueprint. Morikawa more so than Zalatoris is, where it's about pounding fairways. It's about being, you know, precise with your approaches. That is exactly what Colin Morikawa does. And Zalatoris is just, he's just a freak, man. He just does it every single week. You can't stop the guy.
I had never really seen interviews with him before last week. And now
he's awesome.
Awesome. And he doesn't care. When he said, I've been dreaming about this my entire life, so why would I be nervous to go out and get it? How many players ever say that, believe it, and then go do it? So now I'm putting Will into my category of killers. I call them killers. Mm. JT's in it. Spieth is in it. Now Will is in it. Guys that can go out, step on a neck, and not lift up because they feel bad for everybody else. Will Zalatoris is going to be awesome for a really, really long time. He's going to win a lot of big-time tournaments because he does not get nervous. And he tells you what he's going to do, tells you how he did it, and then goes out and he does it the next time. I'm bullish on Zalatoris.
I think it's meaningful that he didn't fade on the weekend, big right? Time. Like big time. He didn't win, but that's an easy spot to talk a big game and then go out on Sunday and shoot a 76. Right. Yep. And he didn't do it. He went out and Spieth had this quote. It was either, I don't know if it was Masters week. I think it was like a month ago. Where he said something like, because him and Zalatoris, I'm sure they talked on the broadcast about them playing a lot together. And he said, there's a ton of confidence there. But the way he said it was kind of like, implied that he's like kind of cocky, which is sick, which I love.
Love it.
I'm way in. Not just the game, like tee to green. I had somebody tell me that there was somebody that was working with him when he was like 16. It was like, this guy's a top 15 ball striker in the world right now, 16 years old. And
I saw it's kind of, too.
It's kind of proven to be true, right? Over the course of his career. So I could not be more in on Zalatoris.
I have a stat you'll like, KP. So I ran the numbers. I went back to when Zalatoris came on the scene, US Open. Okay. So that was September 20th, 2020. Since that time frame, if we just say since then, strokes gained total, who are the best players on tour, not even in this field? Do you have any idea where Zalatoris might show up on that list?
I would say it's DJ ahead of him, Paul Casey ahead. I bet he's like fourth.
He's ninth, which is still crazy. Here's the list. Neither of those guys are on that list. So here it is. It's Patrick Cantlay. Wow. It is Brooks Koepka, John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau, Xander Schauffele, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Charlie Hoffman, believe it or not, is eighth.
Wow.
And then Will Zalatoris is ninth. I mean, those are some killers. You want to talk about killers? Those are some
killers.
That's dirty. Is Xander a killer, coach?
He was. He's not, because he hasn't killed enough. He hasn't won enough when he gets in position. But I want to throw this out at you when we're talking about Will Zalatoris real quick. There's got to be a change. And sometimes it takes one player to invoke change. The fact that he would be 13th in the FedEx Cup standings right now, and that he won't play in the FedEx Cup playoffs unless he wins, is embarrassing. I mean, the dude is one of the top 10 players in the world right now.
I'm rooting for him finishing second at all four majors, becoming like the third ranked player in the world, being on the Ryder Cup team, and not being able to play in the FedEx Cup playoffs.
It's crazy.
It might happen.
He's gonna leave like $10 million on the table by not being able to play the playoffs.
Yeah.
They've got to open it up and say, listen, if these guys like Morikawa did a couple of years ago, Hovland, if they earn enough points to start these PGA Tour events, they've got to earn FedEx Cup points too. And then, I mean, come on, that's an easy fix to me. It really, really is.
I agree. I think that it'll be the Zalatoris rule, right? I mean, I think that'll happen at some point.
KP, your betting card is coming right up. You actually have one of those guys that I mentioned, Charlie Hoffman.
I do.
A top 20. So your top 20s are Daniel Berger, -110, Paul Casey, +138, and that man, Charlie Hoffman, +210 to finish inside the top 20.
Yeah, I mean, we forget about Charlie Hoffman because he wasn't at the Masters last week, but he was awesome at the Texas Open. He was good at what was before that, Corrales Punta Cana. He's been flushing it. Like he has these, and this is true of all guys, but he has these waves where it's like, man, he is just striking the hell out of it. And that's kind of what he's on right now. So it's a good number, especially for a top 20. Casey, if you look at his last, I think it was six or seven, non-major starts. So take the Masters out of it. He's been top 20 at all of them. So players, couple European Tour, American Express, like he's been really, really consistent at non-majors in the top 20. Go ahead.
Do we have anybody? We got to have somebody on the scene this week, right? We got to see how he's putting. He went left-hand low on Sunday and gained 2.5 strokes after he had lost 3.5 strokes putting over the first 3 days. He shot the third lowest round of the day on Sunday going left-hand low. And Greg tried to say, if you do it in the middle of an event, he's probably not going to do it this week, because that's just something you mess around with. Usually when you're going to make a switch, it's weeks and months of leaning into it. But I would love to have somebody tell me how he's putting on Tuesday and Wednesday.
I think guys like him should just change it every 9 holes, every 6 holes. just, I mean, like Morikawa should have a different putting stroke every round. Just, you know, rotate him in. Yeah, then I'm doubling down on Casey. I got him over Zalatoris in the answer. I love Zalatoris. I think that you come off such an emotional week like last week, and it's hard to back it up. And Casey just wasn't in contention. Like there wasn't as much spent from him emotionally as there was Zalatoris. And I think Casey at this point in his career is a more consistent play than somebody like a Zalatoris. Answer is actually more concerning there for me. And then again, I'm fading Cantlay. I've got Webb, best player in the world after the tee shot, and this is the best place to be the best player in the world after the tee shot.
That is exactly right. So let's move over to our one and done. We're going to work our way up as we usually do. So coach, unfortunately, that means we start with you, 2.2 yep. million, and you had that man, Paul Casey, $79,000 for
Paul Casey
for the Masters.
I can't wait till Paul Casey wins the Open and we just get to play that over and over again.
Paul Casey.
Oh my gosh.
You have amended your contract, so you have more time to catch Mark. I think that starts right now, coach. Who do you like?
I felt really good about that this week. I was really happy that the judges for the contest approved the contract change. So I don't want to hear any more from Mark for 4 months. I'm laser focused. I've got my focus in on Webb Simpson this week. I'm going to go Webb Simpson this week. I've been going back and forth. I'm sticking with Webb, and I'm sticking with my theory that whoever I think will win, I'm going to play. And I think Webb will win, so I'm going to play him.
I love it. Right there, coach. I'm just kidding. No, you're good.
I was going to say, I already double checked. I already asked. And I was going to say, if Jacob told me a lie just so you could do that again, A, that'd be savage and I'd respect it, but I'd also be really ticked off. Because he already told me I could use it. Well, oh, my God. If you say, hold up, right, say, oh, my God, it'd drive me in bonkers. Insane.
Hilarious. Producer Jacob, type in the chat who you have for this week. Last week, Producer Jacob went with, oh boy, Patrick Cantlay. That was did not work out well. My weekend sweats as well were non-existent thanks to Mr. Cantlay. So we'll get to Producer Jacob's one and done pick. He is at 2.7 million, so he's 500 clear of coach, but there is a big gap to get us up to you, KP, at $5.1 million. You had Jordan Spieth at the Masters, and you are on a pretty good stretch of, let's do this. Last seven, you've earned $2 million. Okay, KP, making a run.
I am. I've already used Webb. I used him. He got me 28K at the RSM. Thanks, Webb.
Thank you, Webb.
I think I might go with Matty Fitzmagic, Matt Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
I think this is a good spot for him. He's the seventh ranked player in the field. I don't know his numbers here historically, but I don't want to burn a DJ or a Morikawa. I might have already used those guys anyway. I don't think I've used.
You have not used DJ. Wow. And you've not used Morikawa.
Isn't it funny?
Go ahead, coach.
It's funny how we go, we just made 55 grand. If we're actually the player and somebody handed me a check for 55 grand, I'd be like, hell yeah, that's a good week for me, you know?
It's good 4 days.
Oh, only 55 grand. Yeah. You know, like, 55 grand in 1 week. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. You know, no.
It's so funny. I might go with Tyrrell Hatton. You know, there's not going to be a ton of events that he plays in where he's, you know, close to the top ranked guy in the field. He was better than I thought he would be last week. So it's probably going to come down to one of those two guys, either Fitzy or T-Rail.
All right. You've got 5.1 million. Producer Jacob's going to pop in. He's going to tell us how he's going to make up this gap. Is like 2.4 million or 1.4 million to KP.
Give me Abe answer.
The answer, Abraham answer, runner up last year.
I'll take Abe answer. Yeah, runner up last year, and I already used Colin Morikawa. So there you go.
There's that.
Where'd you use Morikawa?
Back Shriners. At the Shriners. Earned $0, missed the cut.
Oh, man, that's a tough scene. Oh,
that is tough. That's tough.
The only thing tougher is when you use Dustin Johnson at the Masters and get a zero, which I know a little bit about.
You used him at the wrong Masters.
You were so cocky. You're like, guess who I have in my back pocket? Oh, you were so ready to drop the hammer on us this week.
Between Cantlay and DJ, I was just enjoying golf on a Saturday and Sunday. I was not worried about anything at all. I was just enjoying some golf. Greg's at 5.3 million. He had Justin Thomas at the Masters, Adam Hadwin the week before that for some reason. We don't have his pick, but we will get it here eventually. He's on the payroll, KP. He has to be.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He has to be like short game coach, swing and strike. I don't know. There's something going on there.
Yeah, we'll get it out of him eventually. There is a $1.1 million gap up to Mark, who had, I think he also had Jordan Spieth.
He had Spieth.
Yeah. He had Spieth. Yeah.
He had Spieth. So this, his last four events, he has gotten 1 million. He has already used, he has used Zalatoris. He's not used Morikawa. He has used DJ. He got DJ at the Masters. So he got 2 million for him in November.
The correct Masters.
Yeah. I'm hoping for like a clerical error where my DJ gets slipped up to the other one, right? Like by the time this all shakes out.
I used Zalatoris, by the way, back before he was cool, right after the US Open, thinking like, I don't know, like he might not be in that many events. And now he's like the number 27 player in the world.
He was the favorite that week. The week that you used him in Punta Cana, he was the favorite, which is like, it was awesome. It was nuts. And then I am at 8 million. I took DJ last week. I got a big fat zero for that. I've looked across my board. I've used Webb. I've used Answer. I've used Cantlay. I've used Morikawa. I've used Dustin Johnson. I've used Paul Casey. I've used Tyrrell Hatton. I'm out of bullets, dear gentlemen. So I'm going to embrace the volatility of this event. I'm going to hope for maybe a little bit longer shot to come through. A guy who has played well here recently. I'm going to go with Ian Poulter and just hope that he can roll in enough putts to just give me his average finish of the last 4 years, and I would take it right now.
I like that.
I think you might have the same weekend this weekend that you had last weekend.
I might
just chilling,
just enjoying golf. just out here enjoying golf, gentlemen. We've got expert picks here, so sleepers, top 10, and pick to win. Coach, let's start with you. Your sleeper for this week, the RBC Heritage,
Kevin Na. I think Kevin Na is feeling the emotion from Hideki. He drove back to congratulate him. So I just think his game matches up perfectly with his place.
And we won't even ask you who your top 10 is. We're just gonna have producer Jacob hit the button.
Give me Paul Casey there.
There it is. A little delay. We'll work on that. But it's Paul Casey. This isn't getting old yet. Thank
you, Jeweler. Jeweler, you got to hit the button at the right time or it loses the effect. And my winner for this week is I'm taking an odds boost to Cam Smith, 33 plus 3,000.
I love it. So that's Kevin Na, sleeper, Paul Casey, top 10, and pick to win Cam Smith for the coach. KP, your sleeper, please.
I like the Cam Smith. Cam Smith is I like him. I want to like him. I just don't know if I trust him. And he's almost like a Xander Light, where he seems to get better the bigger the event. And then the week after, I'm like, can I trust him? I want to trust him.
I know.
Because he's great. I don't know. So my sleeper is the Chuckster, Chuck Hoffman. Charlie. Should have won. Okay. Could have won Texas Open. Not should have. Top 10 Webb, and then my winner. I think I might go with Fitzy for my winner too. I might just marry the one and done. He's been solid. And you know, the short game stuff here, we talked about it, but if you look at strokes gained around the green, I've got it pulled up here somewhere. So strokes gained around the green over the last 3 months, he's plus 0.34 per round. So he's one of the guys that hits it pretty well, that is really solid around the green. So he's kind of in that that Venn diagram of guys that I like here.
I'm going to go with Chase Seifert as my sleeper. Will Zalatoris is my top 10, and Colin Morikawa as my pick to win. Let's see what happens. I like all three of those.
Yep.
Gentlemen, any closing thoughts here for RBC Heritage Week?
I have one. I'm getting all these tweets are like, hey, where's the early edge golf only pod with Rick G? We're coming. We're taping it shortly, and it's going to be in your feed very, very soon. They just can't wait for these picks from you, Rick G. Come on.
All right. I guess we got to give the people what they want. KP, anything else?
No, I'm just gearing up for the rest of the year. First majors in the books. It was awesome. And I'm excited about the rest of it also. It's been an awesome season. I mean, just every week, such good storylines. So I'm pumped about it.
All right. Hope we get a good one this week. But for now, let me thank producer Jacob doing all the hard work behind the scenes. Let me thank the coach, who you can find on Twitter at the Coach Rules. Let me thank Kyle Porter, who you can find on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.